Whether it's a midweek game on the continent or a big weekend clash, cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match of up to $100.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
From the Embassy Row Studios in the crap part of Bedford, New York, and the crap part of West Hollywood, California, it's the Men in Blazers podcast, Rog.
We back like fans in Premier League stadiums, football as it's meant to be. And it was magnificent.
Fans in tears, old men in tears, Rog. And I'm not just talking about myself when Chalobah scored for Chelsea. What scenes we had this weekend across England, across Hibernia. It was just superb, Rog.
Were you trying to think if Newcastle is actually in England while your brain was trying to compute that?
That's why I said Hibernia, because it feels like it's up there near Scotland.
Oh, we do say that the weekend after Major League Baseball experienced its most viewed game in 16 years by playing it on a field of dreams, a.k.a. a cornfield. Did you watch that, David? Because I did. God bless you, Chicago White Sox. I wanted to know, as a television man, what did you make of the spectacle?
I think just all sports should only be played around cornfields. I think corn is just corn is the surface now. Corn is what we want to be around.
CONCACAF was the pathfinder in that regard. I watched the baseball game, and my first thought for like the first three innings, I was like, what is the big deal about this whole thing? CONCACAF has been playing 87% of its games on cornfield for years, and no one's about to die. I mean, by the way, and when I say cornfield, I mean the Gold Cup games in Dallas and Vegas. If you watch them, you'll know what I'm thinking about. Yeah. I do believe, Dave, that I wonder whether the Qataris were watching the White Sox maul the Yankees and were like, the missing detail we need to make people forget that World Cup 22 is being played in slave labor constructed stadia.
No, Rog, they're making clouds. They're making it rain. They're affecting nature. You read the brochures.
Yes, and I'm sure the stage manager's like, ex-nay on the clouds. Let's get rid of those. Just build cornfields around the bloody pitches. And the world will swoon.
That'd be amazing if Qatar suddenly dominate the world corn industry. That would be phenomenal. Okay, before we get to the football, Rog, and there's so much of it from this weekend.
So bloody much.
From the proud presenter of this podcast.
We don't know that they're proud.
DraftKings Sportsbook, Pacquiao versus Spence is this weekend, and DraftKings is offering 100-1 odds on a punch being landed at any point during the fight. That's right. You bet $1 on either fighter, and if any punch lands on either fighter during the fight, you will cash $100 in free credits. I wonder if the Manny accidentally goes to throw one and he actually comes around and hits himself in the head. You'd probably still get it, Rog.
Oh, by the way, I bet you if Man City offered Tottenham Hotspur site credits, the Kane deal would be like done. They're coming with this money thing. He wants money. Yeah. But by the way, this bet, the only place a punch more likely to land is, well, any Burnley game this season.
Yeah, true that. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code MIB when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free site credits when you bet on either fighter to win and a punch is landed during the fight. Place your bet and watch the fist fly this weekend. That's code MIB to turn $1 into $100 in free credits only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook. For details, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Can we get a toast, Rogelio?
Oh, I raise my first third bud of the day to an opening Premier League weekend, which made our hearts pump with joy. The full-time return of fans just made each game, well, really, an emotional canvas. Football as it should be, and the players stepped up to match the moment. So many touching scenes, not a single draw, 34 goals total. Referees who let the game unfurl without interference. Even Mike Dean, when he made a fleeting appearance, was like, the game's not about me, guys. Back to the football. Virtuoso individual displays as a result. Soaring team first collective performances. I raise my bud fam, blood fam, to football played the right way, which can make our spirits soar.
To the football itself then. Tottenham 1, Manchester City 0. An opening weekend marquee matchup, just teeming with narrative. Nuno's first game in charge at Spurs. No Harry Kane in the Tottenham side or squad. Jack Grealish's £50 million apiece calves filling those sky blue socks in the starting lineup. And after a shaky opening start in which they survived a barrage of City pressure, Tottenham grew into the game. The breakthrough came 10 minutes after halftime when Sonny cut inside, sent a low drive past Ederson into the bottom corner. And from there, Nuno's resolute and organised Portuguese fingerprints were all over Tottenham's defensive performance as they held on to sink the defending champions for a massive win to kick off their campaign.
Let's go back to the game before the game. The game of Harry Kane, Zen Master Nuno's first call as a Spurs manager. It was a massive one. You know, going into this, we're all like, oh, Kane, he's come back belatedly from vacation. He loves a good jet ski, that one. And he made it clear to all he believed he had a gentleman's agreement to be sold. This child of Spurs, would Nuno, who'd met with Kane after his extended Bahamas vacay on Saturday night, would he play him and trust Kane's professionalism? Would he put him on the bench and bring him on for a hero's last spell? Or would he not even make the 18? And it was, unsurprisingly, the latter, Davo. And so Harry, one of our own, became the only non-injured player from the Euro 2020 final England team not involved this weekend. What did you make of the decision, Davo? And what, if anything, does it say about Kane's future at Spurs?
Well, I don't know. It might affect Kane's future at Spurs. The decision and then the performance without him. You know, the crowd singing at the end, are you watching Harry Kane? And he apparently was there watching from his luxury suite. And, you know, the better team with a team playing in the dark blue and white, Rog. It was his own Spurs. And the atmosphere was there. They felt like the bigger club. So this may well affect his decision, and not in the way that people think.
You really think that? Because I mean, this is not a knee-jerk decision by Kane, and for me, the tell was that he didn't make the 18 at all, because it couldn't have been about fitness. Every other Euro final England first 11 player played, you know,
he just came back.
Yeah, self-sabotaging. They only came back.
Yeah.
Even KDB came on towards the end of this game, a not 100% fit whatsoever KDB. And I think ultimately him not making the 18 tells you that it's his head that's not right. Something broke between him and Spurs. And as I say, it will take a lot to heal it. You can make the case of what happened, just one game, 3 points could do it. You know, when you saw that he wasn't in the 18, it felt like, if you love someone, set them free, set them free, plus $150 million in money or site credits. But ahead of kickoff, with Spurs so bruised by this offseason, the Kane story just so grating, exhausting, shattering, every other big four side smashing their opponents before kickoff as Manchester City took the field. Before a ball was kicked, David, could you even conceive, take us back before kickoff, could you even believe a Spurs victory was possible?
Well, look, and it's not only been the Kane situation, it's also been the managerial situation. You know, they flirted with virtually every manager in Europe until they landed on Nuno, who never felt like their first choice, Rog. And, you know, Nuno after last season where, you know, Wolves got a little stale under him, you didn't really look at that appointment and think, whoa, this is a match made in heaven. And yet, from the moment he put on that navy blue bomber, Rog,
tactical decision.
A piece of gear that was like, we've not seen I can't remember many bomber jackets in the technical area in the Premier League since we've been covering it. It was a piece of wonderful gear.
It was the whole look. It was. Nuno took his Dark Knight bomber jacket get-up, went head to head against Pep's grey cashmere sweatshirt over slightly weird high neck white t-shirt. You know, and Nuno says, I see what you're wearing. I'm gonna mask the sweat stains. I'm gonna draw strength from the fact that I'm gonna mask my sweat stains. And by the way, he must have also maybe drawn a little bit of strength from the really odd statistic that City have never won at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Yeah.
Nuno sent out his new charges as one of the Robbies kept saying in a Christmas tree formation, forcing C out wide, saying, you don't have a striker, cross away. We'll handle whatever you can throw at us, which was a lot in the opening exchanges. The first 10 minutes, didn't it feel, as City started strongly charging down the left over and over again, that they were going to do what City do, which is to just blow the hinges off Spurs' early doors.
Yes, Sterling to Grealish, to Sterling to Grealish, to Sterling to Grealish, back to Mendy, to Sterling to Grealish, to Sterling to Grealish. There was a lot of that, and it felt dominant. But Tanganga just played a physical game at right back. He just dominated two players, Rog, as just a single biped in a way that you don't often see in the Premier League. And that seemed to enliven Tottenham, seemed to sort of fill them with belief.
It was an Aaron Donald of a game that Tanganga had. We should call him 22-year-old Academy Project Tanganga, who just repelled the interchanging Raz and first-time starting Jack Grealish single-handedly. Oliver Skip, also tasty. Yeah. They're one of our own. Both of them. But from a City perspective, Jack Grealish, what did you make of his performance on the left of three midfielders high up by Torres at the top of the line?
I mean, look, I think it was neither notably good nor notably bad. You know, you read his stats, he had a few touches, he completed like 90% of his passes, he was good. But, you know, if you look at the 22 players on the field and you asked who were the three best players on the pitch, Grealish wasn't in there. Who were the five best players on the pitch? I still don't think he's in there. So I think it was inadequate, but as a 100 million pound footballer, 50 million pounds a calf, as I said earlier, I think he's going to have to do better as he grows into that side.
He did try to enforce himself on the game. Credit him, he kept running at Spurs. He drew five fouls. But my God, as the game chogged on, he cut a frustrated figure. And for long stretches of the first half, it almost felt like Pep was playing a long game, using 90 minutes to showcase his squad's dire need for a striker. Let Spurs win the battle, but lose the war. And Spurs, credit them, eager, in transition, looking to prey on City's moments of rust in possession. I've got to say, first half, to me, the big takeaway, an unrecognisable squad to that mirthless Jose Mourinho scarred outfit who toiled miserably down the stretch last season. And throughout the 90, they were fearless. They worked harder than the defending champions. It's a collective display all over the field in a way City just couldn't match. Tactically, waiting for those moments of transition, Nuno, so bloody bold, got to credit this man. He kept Bergwijn, the excellent Lucas, kept Sonny high up the field and relied on the fact that City's defence would be far from imperious. They had Mendy having a Mendy of a day. Sonny talked post-game beautifully about this energy that Spurs felt the longer the game went on, that they felt they weren't alone in this weekend with the fans back. And that energy seemed to go from crowd to players and back again to the crowd just recirculating deliriously. And you saw City, who'd won games last season with mastery, with control. The longer it came on, it felt like self-doubt was creeping in because they couldn't control the exchanges. And in the second half, Spurs emboldened. 55th minute. What happened, David?
Oh, Sonny. I mean, receives the ball. I mean, it didn't look like a... You know, they had moves in the game. They had counters in the game that looked more dangerous than the one from which they scored, Rog. But Sonny takes the ball out on the right, cuts inside, and just finishes with his left foot. Fantastic strike. A Harry Kane-like goal, you would have to say. And superb finish. And just couldn't happen to a nicer, harder-working, more gifted professional than Sonny.
Cutting in off that right flank inside Nathan Ake, delivering a couple of step overs to the defender who seems to play wearing a kick me post-it on his back. And that left-footed arrow, Spurs' first shot on target. Slightly weird decision by Diash to try and chest it rather than block it. And not Edison's finest moment either. He just chose to watch the ball roll into that corner. Ewing theory won. Manchester City nil, David.
Yeah, and not undeserved. I mean, interesting, Manchester City, you know, this weakness they used to have on the counter seemed to come back again. You know, this. I think there'd been a Grealish attack just moments before it. It was just a counter that, you know, they felt like they had enough men back to go and cover it. And, you know, Nathan Ake, who, you know, obviously not their first choice centre back, he struggled a little bit with Sonny as he cut inside. Nobody came up and pressed the ball. Goalkeeper, I'll be a little kinder to Edison. I think he's unsighted there. And it's a goal. And Tottenham looked the more likely to score after that as well.
Should be said, amidst all the Kane hubbub, Sonny extending at Spurs until 2025. Definitely one of the top three most important signings of this offseason. And all this time, Daniel Levy, we thought he was bluffing with Kane. He was simply holding out for £500 million for City for Heung-Min Son. Respect. Dude always playing the long game. City, though, stunned, like slap Pep across the face with a wet cashmere fish astonished. And I mean, part of me thought, we were watching a clause from the Harry Kane contract that's already been negotiated, that City had agreed to throw the game, apart from the fact that that actually ignores the fact Spurs were playing with such joy, such hard work, such intelligence, movement. It's like a throwback to the best of the Poch days under new dad, Papa Smurf. It could have been 2-0 if Bergwijn hadn't bollocks the golden chance. And so Pep needs must, flew on that twin pair, Zinchenko, and back from injury, way ahead of schedule, needs must, KDB. But they came closest with a flub Torres chance, and down the stretch, Spurs looked like they were in control as their fans screamed, "Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching Harry Kane?" I mean, the same fans that have sung "He's One of Our Own" deliriously for the better part of a decade. Now reveling in every single second. I've got to say, Davo, I was so happy for Tottenham fans. All of this season of doubt, all of this trauma, all of this agony, this must have felt magnificent.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for Daniel Levy watching, you know, a lot to think about. Suddenly he can look at that and think, well, can I afford to get rid of him? Because we're a pretty good team without him as well. And how will the players react if I bring him back when it's pretty clear that he didn't want to play here? You know, Pep, on the other hand, looking at it thinking, yeah, I can't play Torres up front. that isn't going to work. You know, even Grealish was like asking about Watkins after the game. It's an interesting thing. And yet, I still find possession is 9/10 of the law. This is a lot of money. The deal hasn't gone through. And Daniel Levy is obstinate, Rog. He is stubborn. He's not an easy man to negotiate with. And I could still see it falling apart and not going through.
But it's Spurs. It's one of the oddest statistics in Premier League football. Their weird home mastery over Manchester City. Spurs fans delight in the fact that ever since Pep Guardiola called Tottenham the Harry Kane team, you couldn't make this stuff up. You keep telling me there's no Premier League writer. But since Pep Guardiola called Tottenham the Harry Kane team, Spurs have only gone and beaten City four times on the run at home. Indeed, City have peppered 69 shots, not scored once in the process. And that final whistle, such joy around Spurs Stadium. An incredibly beautiful scene. The manager beaming. Third time he'd beaten Pep, which I think is the most Pep has lost to any manager, up there with Jose, Ole and Klopp. And true delirium around Tottenham Stadium at the final whistle. A performance to be proud of. Nuno, God love him, tried to repress his inner emotions, remained stoic, but he finally just grinned. Oh, gorgeously right at the camera. And to be Spurs' seventh choice manager, Davo, and deliver victory against the champions with your elite striker, England captain, sitting out, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. He'll be taking his team. Where will they be going next week, Davo? Only back to Wolves in week two. Why are we even pretending that this thing isn't scripted?
Rog, I have never told you there's not a Premier League writer. In fact, I've gone many steps further, and I maintain this is all a simulation. And now I think we realise that this is a simulation run by Daniel Levy. It's the only thing that makes sense.
And he must have loved, and even he smiled, Sonny too, hugging Moura. What joy must those two have felt? I mean, glory, relief, vindication. The king is dead. Long live King Sonny. And for City, Davo, part of me was like, And I tweeted this after they lost this game. I simply expected Manchester City to put out a tweet saying, you know, to strengthen our squad, we have brought the entire club, Paris Saint-Germain. And Pep will just say, every team has its own reality. But what did you make of the loss? Because I don't typically like to read too much into opening day of the season knee-jerk results. But, you know, it's pretty clear that Arsenal, Leeds United, Man City going to get relegated. And we've only got the top four race to look forward to now.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's not forget, though, how poorly Man City started last season.
You're talking that they were 11th after 10 games and ended up exactly. winning the league by 12 points.
Exactly. So I don't think we need to really overreact to anything after week one. I still think City are going to be fine. They're going to need to play better football than this, but I think everybody associated with that club realizes it. You still look at the squad. You look at how many players. They've got some players with injuries. You know, Foden's still out. You get a sense that KDB isn't quite himself yet. Let's face it, even if they don't bring in Harry Kane, they'll bring in five other players before the end of the transfer window. I'm not worried about them. I still think they're going to be fine. I still think they're going to win it.
So let's all agree to just silently schadenfreude, okay? Let's not say a demeaning word in public. I mean, Chelsea fans, God love, I love it. It's nice to think that, yes, quote, Thomas Tuchel broke Pep in the FA Cup semi-final. Since then, the Champions League final. Oh, and then, you know, losing the Community Shield and now this, he's not been the same since. Honestly, I would notch this down to a COVID challenge pre-season. And I think the only thing this loss means is that Arsenal's Invincibles can open up a bottle of champagne and know their record's going to be safe for another season. And I'll just say this. I would not want to be Manchester City's next opponent, Norwich City. Oh, God bless you, Norwich City, next weekend.
I think the one important thing for Pep, Rog, is that he's got to take from this game. You cannot just roll up in a camel sweatshirt over a white T-shirt, however much cashmere is in that blend, roll up the sleeves and think you can compete with that dark navy bomber that Nuno brought. He may have to step up his game this season.
The bomber jacket that transformed football and shook up the title race.
Okay, next up, Brentford 2, Arsenal 0. The Friday night Gunners feel the sting of the Friday night bees on opening night. Newly promoted Brentford tallied the first goal of the Premier League campaign in the 22nd minute after Arsenal failed to clear their lines, allowing the ball to be worked to Sergio Canos, who blasted it past Bernd Leno. Arteta's side without Oba and Laka, due to undisclosed illnesses, failed to break down their opposition in the 73rd minute. The Gunners were undone by a long throw into the box, giving Christian Nergård a free header to seal a famous victory on Brentford's first game in the top flight in 74 years. Meanwhile, the pressure is back on Mikel Arteta like it never left.
7.5 decades since Brentford had played in the English top flight. Magnificent scenes before the game kicked off. Songs, joys, tears, Friday night lights, hosting Arsenal, opening game of the season, and the mighty bees walked onto the field to the stirring sounds of Hey Jude, which, to be candid, I know I'm not alone, have been whistling the whole time ever since. And in truly beautiful scenes, became the 50th club to host Premier League football. To see an English football stadium full again, Davo, it was poetically mesmerising.
Yeah, and that new stadium, those Brentford fans, and if you've ever been to Brentford, you know, some of the best fans in football. It's an amazing atmosphere at the Bees, week in, week out, and just remarkable to see. You know, Friday night, this is what Friday night games should be. I think sort of the Premier League has had some issues with Friday night. It's never really taken off, but this was the perfect Friday night game to open the season.
Arsenal open up in their third kit, which GFOP Henry Pfeiffer called straight up airport carpet. It does look like Portland's airport, and God bless, I've got a little slice of that in our studio, which I've not seen in a year and a half. Shock selections, Oba, Laka out, with rumours flying as to why, possibly health, possibly a toxic relationship with Arteta, most probably both. And a youth revolution stepped in to replace them. US-eligible Balogun and Gabriel Martinelli were pressed into action. And Brentford, it should be said, charged fearlessly, collectively, and just confidently from the off, aware they could score goals. Also aware Arsenal's backline would be far from settled, and they set about creating chance out of chance in their tiny cauldron. Arsenal fans had just texted, all my mates texted me early on saying, oh my God, it felt so good to have fans back in the stadium. A joy that lasted about as long as it would have taken to watch Arsenal try and play out from the press a couple of times, because 23rd minute, Davo, Brentford, gasm.
Poor attempted clearance. I think it was Callum Chambers. And, you know, ball ends up falling to Canos, and Canos with a, you know, great strike, you know, another one of these well-journeyed European footballers who Brentford managed to pick up, and he's really made his career there. And just a fantastic goal. And what a sound, what a sort of orgasm in that crowd as the ball hit the back of the net.
I've always wondered what bees sound like when they make love, and that was as close to a kind of final answer. We should credit the excellent Tony, who caused the panic.
Yeah.
And what a finish from Canos, lashed it past a flat-footed stunned Leno. What feelings must have surged through his veins as he spitted away with joy and perfected just a exquisite knee slide that he's been working on in training. At Matt Valentini tweeted, should Brentford have been invited to the Super League? I mean, the Arsenal players were rocked and just shorn of experience on the field, looked lost, sunken, devoid of leadership. Poor bloody Ben White. I mean, he looked like, all I can say is he looked, we should actually call him by his full name, which is Ben White Lotus. He looked like he will fit right in at Arsenal Football Club. His debut performance could only be described as David Luiz with a haircut and tattoo sleeves. But you look at him, and I feel for him. You know, this is Arsenal's problem. Playing alongside Pablo Mari would bring out the horse in anyone. And Arsenal's squad is so mush that whatever they add, it's like building on quicksand. It sucks the quality new player down into the mire. And you realise Arsenal do not give new talent the possibility of succeeding. That is the true tragedy.
Mitigating factor, this was the youngest team fielded by any Premier League side this weekend. Very young. This was a team of babies. But the criticism being, why are you putting a bunch of babies out against a newly promoted side in their new stadium, Friday night, that kind of atmosphere? And every single year, you know, Arsenal are focusing on their forward players, what they're doing going forward, how they're creating goals, how exciting they can be. And it's always the story of the back. It's always their steel in midfield that gets questioned. And both of these goals were, you know, they were sort of defensive calamities.
Yeah, Arsenal brought on more youth. Saka, a beautiful moment, applauded by all in the stadium after his Euro 2020 exploits a wonder. And they did attempt to try and force themselves onto the game, only to be sucker punched off a set piece. I mean, the goal, Davo, I mean, a just long throw in, which Arsenal, they really, it can only be described as the kind of goal you see routinely in under 11 football, right?
Yeah, the ball hit the ground. You can't allow that ball to hit the ground. It can't hit the ground. The ball cannot hit the floor. You got to play it. I learned that playing for the Edinburgh University second 11, Rog. You got to get your head on the ball.
Oh, yes, foulish on the keeper, but ... And that was it. A game which led to the number of Brentford fans in America increasing by 10,000,000% in a space of 90 minutes. Our Twitter feed was filled with a lot of always been Brentford, mate, in an American accent, and in West London. Oh, the fans, you've just a shit Tottenham Hotspur as the clock wound down. Fans who truly enjoyed themselves, as they should. Thomas Frank, God, I loved post-game. I loved how he handled himself with the fans. I loved how he talked about the win post-game, his philosophy. He wants his team to be, quote, confident yet humble. Two magnificent values. And to deliver that win, first full crowd for 18 months, and those scenes, lap after lap of honour, it was enough to make you tear up. And by you, I mean me. I just was like, football is amazing. What joy, what emotions it can conjure. And watching Brentford overwhelm their establishment opponents, it just for fleetingly made everything in life feel possible.
Yeah, I mean, I cried three times this weekend. I cried then, I cried when Chaloba scored, and I cried watching the movie Coda last night on Apple TV Plus. That is literally, I hit the floor in tears at the end of that film. So it was a huge emotional moment. I'm a romantic. You heard me on Spotify Green Room last week, Rog. I said that I think that the three promoted teams, they're going to make it. They're all going to stay up this year. There's none more than I want to do that than Brentford, than the Bees. I think it'll be fantastic for football, fantastic for that part of London. So come on, Up the bees.
Arsenal kick off the season by losing to a team that hasn't been in the top flight since the Great Depression. Stick to the positives, Arsenal fans. Your new kit looked really clean. And credit Mikel Arteta, who's got Arsenal on mid-season form already, completely open at the back, creating little, hoping for a moment of individual brilliance to bail themselves out, poor Pepe. And the bewildered Arsenal manager trying to do his smouldering dead-eyed look at the end, but he comes across ever more lost. What a season to be shooting all or nothing at Arsenal Football Club behind the scenes. I mean, to be opening up, out-hustled and out-coached, out-fought by new boys Brentford. You know, I look at it, I'm like, where would you begin to clear out the deadwood on this Arsenal squad? And they face Man City and Chelsea next. Is it knee-jerk to say, Davo, Mikel Arteta on the hot seat one game in?
Well, I mean, he was going to be in the hot seat this season. You know, the fan rumblings are growing every single week. We have no idea how the ownership feels about him or anything really about their very ownership of Arsenal Football Club. So we'll have to see. But yeah, there is, you know, I think they're going to need a result against Chelsea. I think a loss against Chelsea at the weekend, and I think it's going to start to become a clamour.
Friday night, I got a text from my mate, massive lifelong gooner, Michael Cohen. My mate. He texted, Arsenal, 100 years in the top flight. It's been a good run.
Oh, my God. Everyone's predicting their own teams are going down just so they feel okay when they finish mid-table, Roger. Man United 5, Leeds United 1. After a season in which it served largely as a staging ground for fan protests, a packed Old Trafford was sent into delirium by a United attacking masterclass of Bruno hat-trick, 4 assists from Paul Pogba, a Mason Greenwood banger, and even Fred scored, despite briefly allowing Leeds to level the score 1-1 early in the second half. This was as complete a performance as you will see. Just a wonderful start to the season for United fans. This was vintage United, Rog.
No better way to kick off the season than with a War of the Roses. Roars ahead of kickoff. And the game lived up to the billing. Just a concussive smash fist of a battle in the midfield. And then the first half, we saw Pogba the bad and then Pogba the sublime. First, a one-on-one created by the excellent Greenwood. Pogba decided to, for some reason, do a step over to fake out the goalie, which left the ball on his weaker foot, which allowed him to bobble the ball innocuously past the post. At the time, it felt like classic United Pogba, just that United's video editor would drop the step over into Pogba's farewell video and just edit out the finish. You know, great engagement. That clip will deliver great engagement, which is like what football's now all about. But then, 31st minute, Dave, I can only say for the rest of the game, the singular, brilliant French international caliber Pogba revealed himself, and it was stunning.
Yeah, that half volley of an assist slash through ball slash triangle on your PS4 controller. It was just a beautiful ball, bounced in exactly the right way for Fernandez, who finished it beautifully.
A goal that took your breath away. Bruno's first goal from open play in 14 Premier League games. It would not be his last. Leeds thought they got a way back into it with a Luke Ayling Wolf blitzer on 48 minutes, but all they did was poke the bear. And United just turned their game up a level. Pogba at the heart of all that was good. 3 assists all of last season. 4 assists in just 90 minutes this one. First to do that in a Premier League game ever. Masterpieces of vision and spin and controlled passing. They just eviscerated Leeds huff and puff. It eviscerated their will to live because they kept pushing up. And Pogba just exploited every inch of space left behind them with inch-perfect precision. And it should be said, it's fascinating that this performance comes right after Messi's arrival at PSG, which complicates the rumoured exit route for Pogba, Davo. English reports in the papers have them now offering him $706,000 a week next season. So the old rules about, you know, we just paid a lot for Messi, we don't have room for you anymore, those old rules may not apply, Davo.
Yeah, it's just opened up more money. An amazing performance by Pogba, but certainly not the only one in the red of Manchester United to sort of, you know, blow me away. And some of the lesser lights for this team, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, that's the best game I've seen him have in a Manchester United shirt. Lindelof with
that pass.
Oh, Lindelof's pass. Varane gets announced before the game and he's like, okay, I'm going to get dropped. Lindelof makes that pass, that long ball that was I haven't seen a better assist from a central defender.
Exquisite. The vision, it was just an incredible pass. And God, please note, Bruno Fernandes haters, a fantastic hat trick, emphatic exclamation point finishes, none of his goals from the penalty spot. On the Pogba thing, we've always known he's got immense talent. Whether he wants to stay or go, you know, and whether he can deliver this kind of performance consistently, that's really, can he dominate games like he did on Saturday over and over and over again? That's really the United storyline to watch for the first third of this season. And a game, as you say, of surging attack, joy for Ole, vintage Manchester United. One highlight reel goal after another. It did feel like the United of yore, the kind of football that makes United fans dream. So Mason Greenwood, another hero for United on the day. And the energy inside Old Trafford. Oh, just, my Lord, how much the players must have missed that noise. Leeds are falling apart again. Sang the United fans delirious. 5-1, hat-trick for Bruno, assist orgy for Pogba, even Fred scored. And then you bring on Jadon Sancho, Varane on the field, paraded before kickoff, old school style, all lived out at a packed Old Trafford, Dave. What a day to be a Manchester United fan. Really, a world away. It's hard to believe it was just 4 months ago that the same fans were storming the field in protest.
Good football, when your team are playing well, it can make you forget everything.
For Leeds, one note, good news. Head coach Marcelo Bielsa has just signed a one-year contract extension last week and arrived at Old Trafford proud and with a new bucket, which I was elated to see. He actually has a coach whose job it appears to be simply to carry the bucket onto the field in the minutes before kickoff, which is a new life goal for me, Davo. I want that job. I want to be Bielsa's bucket throne bearer, and I would actually pay to do that job, actually.
Well, I was elated to find out that you can actually buy Bielsa's bucket in the Leeds United club store, and I might have purchased one for a certain someone for the holiday season, Rog.
Bite your arm off for a Bielsa bucket. By the way, that's one of those purchases that you dream of getting, and then you get it and you look at it, you're like, what the fuck am I going to do with this?
Sit on it. What else would you use a bucket for? Chelsea 3, Crystal Palace 0, a very comfortable win to begin the season for my mob over Palace, my other mob, and new manager Patrick Vieira. Marcos Alonso started the scoring in the 27th minute with a free kick that had as much curl as those luscious Spanish locks. In the 40th minute, Christian Pulisic made it 2-0, pouncing on a loose ball to open his account for the season. And in the 58th minute, my moment of the weekend, Chelsea Academy product, former ball boy, Trevor Chaloba. There aren't enough Trevors in football, Rog. Uncorked a 25-yard blast into the bottom corner for his first Premier League goal on his debut for Chelsea. One that meant so much to the 22-year-old and put this game beyond doubt.
Oh, 72 hours after a Kepa-inspired Super Cup victory, which you can actually tell from the players' reactions, really meant a lot to them. Chelsea faced Crystal Palace. Bold new Crystal Palace. New squad, new play out of the back style, new everything under their new coach, Patrick Vieira. And they swatted them aside comfortably. While not always clinical, Timo Werner, sigh. This was a romp from the moment Alonso smashed a delicious free kick past Guaita. A game killed off by Pulisic. We should talk about him quickly. Cameras picked him up, getting an F-word laden tongue-lashing for Thomas Tuchel for failing to execute. And he responded by poaching the backbreaker on 40 minutes. He's now on pace for a 38-goal season of our dreams, David. But Christian gets so much in-game hate. If you watch the game on Twitter, people hate him. Just ghosting again. Why is he on and Cho's not? He just offers nothing. Then he just goes and poaches an opening day goal, Dave. What do you make of it? He just seems to have to constantly... I mean, by the way, 5-5 against Crystal Palace. Proper hates the Palace. I mean, what do you make of it? He's once again, Christian Pulisic, it seems, is going to have to fight to prove himself on a squad where playing time is going to be so bloody highly competitive.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Playing time is going to be competitive. And with, you know, Lukaku coming in and... Havertz, I think, who was only didn't start this game because he played 120 minutes in the Super Cuppity Cuppity Cup. It's going to be tough, and he is going to have to perform well, and he's going to have to perform like that every time he gets a chance. Look, I said on Spotify Green Room, I think this is going to be a breakout season for Christian Pulisic. I think he's going to do well this season. But if we're being honest, he did not have a great sophomore season at Chelsea. He did so well the end of his rookie season, especially when it came back after lockdown. But sophomore season was a bit of a disappointment. He didn't convince. I think he convinces Americans by default, but he didn't convince a lot of, you know, I think a lot of Chelsea fans see his potential, but he didn't, he really didn't like sort of light them up. And I think he needs a season where he starts to put the ball in the back of the net early. And I think this was a great, great start. A great start.
Are you telling me last season was his Room on Fire, his difficult second album?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, we've got to move on from Pulisic, though. And just, I want to hear how much pleasure you must have received from that Chelsea Academy product, Trevor Chalobah. What a goal on his debut. What a rasper.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've followed this kid since ever since he's been in the academy, and his older brother Nathaniel, who is now at Watford. Trevor joined, you know, grew up in that academy with Mason Mount. There are pictures of him and Mason all over, you know, all over Chelsea's Instagram this weekend. You know, I'm the son of a Trevor, Rog. I think it's this little known thing that we've ever discussed is you're the son of an Ivor, I'm the son of a Trevor. There aren't enough Trevors in the world right now. Aren't enough Trevors in football. But to watch him, you know, seize his moment, a player who 3 weeks ago probably thought there was no way he was not going to be loaned out again to some European backwater to try and ply his trade and build a career in football. Now, suddenly, he seems to be firmly in Tuchel's plan, started in the Super Cup, starts in this game, has a great game even without this moment of the goal. And steps forward with the crowd yelling, shoot, almost never happens. And he actually shot and he actually scored. It was just wonderful. And his reaction, so honest, you know, starts to try to celebrate. He's a deeply religious kid. He's started to sort of, you know, acknowledge the skies and then just drop to his knees in tears. Had to be consoled by his teammates. It was beautiful.
I'm old enough to remember when Chelsea never had any youth products and now they keep on coming. Oh, and Trevor was so confident on the ball throughout this game, spanking home that shot with all the confidence of youth, proving that everyone on this Chelsea squad now can score. Oh, not you, Timo Werner. An easy way for your boys to ease themselves into the season. Let's just say Palace will not rush to judge them. We'll give them time to gel, to adapt to Vieira's proactive playing style, post-Hodgson's more pragmatic approach before we say stupid things like Patrick Vieira's just a French De Boer. But Brentford, West Ham, Tottenham, three very different London derbies on the run in the league. You've got to get at least 4 points somewhere there along the way. And for Chelsea, three goals. Big Rom still to come with his Liam Neeson-esque unfinished business storyline, which is going to be one of the true wonders of this season to watch. Incredible seeing the image of him holding up a Chelsea shirt last week, 10 years after he first did as a lean 18-year-old, a completely different human being, completely different footballer. Please God, his debut next week against Arsenal and then Liverpool right after.
Okay, Roger, moving on. Norwich 0, Liverpool 3. Any Norwich fan that watched Brentford's match and began to dream received a very harsh reality check. Upon their side's return to the Premier League, a goal and two assists from Mo Salah sank East Anglia's second-best team. Oh, this was written by producer J-Dubs. In a routine win featuring Trent Alexander-Arnold slinging it around like Kyler Murray. The big subplot of this one for American football fans. Josh Sargent's English football debut, the Premier League, Pat Maroon, came on in the 77th minute for Daniel Farke's mob.
Norwich back for a fifth appearance in the Premier League, a record. Liverpool, who had seven wins in their last seven visits to Carrow Road, famous beatdown after famous beatdown, would probably not have been their first choice of opponent. But this is a different Norwich. Billy Gilmore's Norwich. So good to see them back. I will say, to watch Todd Cantwell trotting around the midfield again. That man is beautiful. His hair, Dave, bouncing like a Tuscan wheat field in the summer sun.
I'm not sure how beautiful Todd Cantwell is. I think he's kind of a very regular looking bloke, but he's got like beautiful, he's got that beautiful blonde mane.
He's got the confidence of a beautiful man. There's in my book I wrote...
That's what hair does for you, Rog. That's what hair does.
I remember there was one of Duran, John Taylor. I remember as a kid reading an interview with him where the interviewer asked him if he thinks he's good looking. And he said, no, but I think I can fake it, that notion of I'm not good looking, but I think I can fake it, tied my brain in knots. Because really, Todd Cantwell's just a Jack Grealish light, but he wears it with such confidence. And Norwich, started confidently too, but Liverpool, buoyed by the return of Big Virg alongside Joe Martip at the back, in 26th minute, Jota finished sharply, Mount possibly assisting intentionally on the goal, and that was the moment Liverpool realised Norwich back four doesn't look much improved from their relegation season, in which they conceded 75 at the back. And the goal just kicked the snot out of the Canaries, who from that point on seemed vulnerable every time they tried to push forward and force themselves back into it. From a Liverpool perspective, rest of the game, anxiety-free, Mo, unselfish. That was what took my eye here. Littered assists amongst his goals. Must now have a generous assist clause slipped into his contract somehow. It was his pass to set up Bobby Chompers. Bobby Chompers needed that morale booster 4 minutes after trotting on as a sub, a thing of beauty. Mo then grabbed one of his own. That man on opening day, inevitable. First player in Premier League history to score in the opening match, five straight seasons. That and a clean sheet. You can really think with Big Verge getting a game, looking imperious, this must have been a delight for Lasix Klopp, David.
Yeah, this was a great start for Liverpool. An impressive performance against the Norwich side, who, you have to say, play some good football. You know, they threatened Liverpool. They didn't. They didn't really so much create chances as they just created incredibly positive attacking moves that seemed to fizzle out at the end. They seemed to sort of lack belief and lack imagination. But this is a good Norwich side, and I was very impressed with Liverpool's performance.
Kind start to the season for Liverpool. Only the worry of the rescheduled African Nations Cup starting in January and the number of players that will lose on the horizon. That is the only black cloud. But as you said, a lovely moment for American fans. Josh Sargent trotting on, 77th minute. All hail American soccer gritty. Chants of USA, USA, USA from the Norwich faithful. Which made me, and I mean this seriously, football, global football, really one of America's greatest soft power exports right now on the men's side. Early impression of Sargent, he's not overawed. Willing to be physical, handy character to throw on and learn his trade in minutes, spelling Pookie. Really, to me, that has all the makings of a cult hero. Could be one of the great Ginger Canaries.
Oh, we will see. A Ginger Canaries. Okay, Leicester 1, Wolves 0. Brodgers Mob follow up there. FA Community Shield, look at us now, victory with 3 points on opening day. The game's lone goal came in the 41st minute via, guess who? 34-year-old Jamie Vardy, a man whose fitness and longevity no doubt has nutritionists probing the benefits of Red Bull and Voddies. Wolves spurned a Traore's worth of chances here in Bruno Lage's managerial debut, and the team that you predicted to finish fourth are off to a flying start here, Rog.
Oh, we should say most joyful sight of the season so far. 8.5 months after fracturing his skull, Mexican striker Raul Jimenez back for his first start. Many thought he'd never play again, but it was life-affirming to watch him go the full 90 and a reminder to take nothing in life for granted. But that was about as joyful as it got for Wolves and the new boss, Bruno Lage. I'm working on a Band of Brothers project right now, and there's that episode, Replacements, which kind of tells us sort of how the men didn't want to get too close to the new guys who joined them mid-conflict because they didn't really know how long they'd be around. And I feel that way about Wolves' new gaffer. His team played up-tempo fair. They deserved the point, but Adama Traore blew his chance and Leicester took theirs. Game one by 34-year-old Jamie Vardy, a legend. His goal, it was, David, it was gorgeous, right?
A lot of people are sort of pre-season starting to write Jamie Vardy off, saying he can't do what he does, and Iheanacho is going to be their lead guy, he's going to take over, don't expect him to get anywhere near, I think he scored 15 goals last season, don't expect him to get anywhere near that. But this was a goal, you don't see many strikers in football, and many strikers in the Premier League being able to score this one. Just a poacher's goal, a feat of imagination, visualization, of sense memory, of practice, of audacity, including his celebration, right, directed at the Wolves fans. I mean, it was Vardy at his best.
Jamie Vardy's shithousery on mid-season form scores the winner, charges towards the Wolves fans, and yes, howls at them. adding yet another classic Jamie Vardy literal celebration to his pantheon. Remember, he did an eagle impression after scoring against Crystal Palace. Now the wolf to Wolves fans. He's 34 years old, still scoring bangers just so he can troll all comers. I do hope, Davo, let's just say, we hope Jamie Vardy never scores against the Kansas City Whiz.
Okay, Newcastle 2, West Ham 4. Steve Bruce versus David Moyes, two typewriters in a world of footballing smartphones. And guess what, Rog? It will do a job on an early Sunday morning. What a game of football this was. The Irons came from behind twice to claim this six-goal thriller at St James's Park. The winning goal came upon 63 minutes when Thomas Souček pounced on a saved penalty to make it 3-2. A fantastic Mikel Antonio strike added a fourth, sending the Irons back down south with all 3 points.
David Moyes attempting to throw off history. West Ham's way of a season of darkness immediately following a season of joy and promise. So this was more than a win. I mean, is West Ham twice counter-attacked their way back from a goal down? Newcastle ultimately outmatched and outmuscled in midfield, simply fell away, allowing each one of West Ham's charismatic big three, Benarama, Souček and the wonderful Mikel Antonio,
yeah,
to grab a second half goal each. And for Newcastle, Joe Willock can't arrive quickly enough.
Watford 3, Aston Villa 2. The Orns get a big win on their return to the Premier League, despite leaving the door completely ajar for Villa to come back after going up 3-0 through 67 minutes. Cisco Munoz's men conceded two late goals, including an injury time penalty to Villa new boy Danny Ings. But in the end, Watford hold on for 3 points.
Welcome to the post-Jack Grealish world, Villa fans, which began pretty much how anyone who watched Villa week in, week out last season would have feared. Last year, with Jack Carves in the team, Villa won 56% of the games when he rested his quads and didn't play. That win percentage dropped to 24%. So it was here. Villa overrun by the lightning pace of Saar. Though Dean Smith will draw strength from a second-half comeback with the likes of Leon Bailey looking lovely off the bench, which suggests this Villa do have more quality in terms of depth of squad.
Good game of football, that. Burnley 1, Brighton 2. After falling behind to a second-minute slab-head light, James Tarkowski-headed goal. Is there any other kind of James Tarkowski goal? Brighton stormed back to claim the 3 points, a 73rd-minute goal from vaudeville villain Mope, and in the 78th minute, just 2 minutes after coming on, it was Alexis McAllister, the RG with a tartan flair, to score and complete the comeback. The Seagulls fly out of Burnley with feathers ruffled, but all 3 points between their beaks.
Knee-jerk one-game reaction. Brighton outperformed their XG, their expected goals, and all in the last 20 minutes. You remember last year's wasteful Warriors? They are blunt no more. Burnley, or rue the lack of depth in their squad, which may haunt them this season. They simply fell away down the stretch, losing what was effectively a day one relegation six-pointer. Come on, you Seagulls!
And finally, Roger, Everton 3. Southampton 1. You're anticipating their relegation, Rog, but this was impressive. Never a doubt, Rog, even after in the 22nd minute, Michael Keane himself needlessly coughing the ball up, leading to a stonker from Saints' new signing, AA Adam Armstrong. But a second half blue wave, Rog, including goals from Ricky Dookie and your mate DCL, saw the man the Everton fans call a fat Spanish waiter serve up a win on his first game in charge at Goodison. Buon appetito, Evertonians.
He's not the fat Spanish waiter. He's the maitre d' now, mate. But you say there was no doubt. There was only doubt ahead of the Hummel derby. Just a mood swing of emotions. Most of them mine, most of them knee-jerk, and ultimately deeply unexpected, watching, I have to say, Rafa Benitez become the first man since William Edward Barclay in 1892 manage both Liverpool and Everton. I've got to be candid, I said this on the green room, I have not felt this bleak ahead of a season kicking off in a long, long Sam Allardyce of a time, Davo, watching Benitez do his pre-match interview with an Everton lapel pin on his collar was just like, it was like watching Philip Jennings undercover in The Americans. You know his disguise is so bad that you still know he's a Russian agent, even in his like silly glasses and whatever wig he's wearing. And it just felt Darkness on the edge of town, and you begin a new season filled with manufactured hopes and dreams that last a glorious 22 minutes until Michael Keane craps the bed, giving the ball away under no pressure. You can just see his mind go from, I'm going to do something brilliant, I'm going to do something brilliant, and then Southampton closing down, and he's just, God, panics, indecision, gifts the goal. Of course, the debutant opponent, Armstrong, just eviscerating good vibes, making darkness descend on the edge of town. It was just, I felt like the season was over in that moment.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It had only just started.
Yes, but you already had Everton fans back in the stadium simply so they could stick it to their team. How I've missed you. Loud belching Everton fans screaming obscenities into the on-field microphone for the entire world to hear. And the second half, credit Rafa, tweaked his system slightly, shifted the excellent Richarlison central, flipped the sides that Keenan Holgate played on at the back. And though I was braced for misery, a strange, unfamiliar emotion. Richarlison, a man, Davo, who played 15, count them, 15 games over the summer, World Cup qualifying, Copa America, the Olympics. That was during his, quote, break, stabbed home a goal. Oh, beauty, want away, Richarlison is the most lethal Richarlison. At Good Kid Dad City tweeted, is Richarlison the Brazilian Pelé?
Yeah, I think he's an amazing footballer and clearly just needs to play pretty much every day in whichever continent he's on. And, you know, he'll be travelling a lot during World Cup qualifiers, heading back to South America to play for Brazil.
God, we love it. We love him when he's shattered because, yeah. God, when he scored, I was like, oh my God, we're going to win the league. And then we went ahead. I got to be honest. Look at this goal. If you've not seen this goal, Decore, a solid Everton move, a quick free kick. And I'm going to be honest. I'll break you through my emotions during this goal. Quick free kick by Everton on the edge of the Southampton box. I did scream at my television, why are we taking it quickly? Do we think we're good or something? Iwobi found Decore inside the box, and I'll be candid again. I shouted at my kids as the ball dropped to Decore's feet. Oh God, not Decore. He can never get the ball out of his feet. And he did stumble initially.
Yeah.
But then just made him move, created space, and an exclamation point pop into the corner. And God, I was so rarely so delighted to be wrong. Not once, but twice. Really three times, because God love you, Rafa Benitez. And the roof was blown off Goodison Park. You know, if I'd videotape that moment, me saying, oh, not Iwobi, he's terrible. Not Decore. Oh, he won't. And then just the magic, the joy that flowed through my veins with the finish, David. Not just mine, but every Everton fan. God love the fans that ran onto the field to hug the players. It felt so... such a relief, Dave, to feel that, yeah, kind of joy again.
It was also so unexpected. It was a little bit, he span around so many times in the box. It was almost like that game that kids play or frat boys where they where they spin around a baseball bat. You know, they go round and round and round. I can't believe he didn't fall over. He was so dizzy. I'm not sure that anybody would have hit that like inside of the inside side of the goalkeeper into the roof of the net. Should have had an extra half a goal for that. It was just fantastic finish.
Incredible. And they say football makes a fool of you. It made a fool of me three times in that moment, and I've never been more delighted. That was it. Beautiful DCL scored his slot goal, and that is how we began the season, by winning a Premier League game after losing at half-time for the first time since September 2015. Yes, Davo, it was just Southampton, who is dismal and outfit as it can be at the moment. I mean, Sean of Ings and Vestergaard, they look, whoa, they could be in trouble this season. But could we, Davo, could we? I don't want to get ahead of my skis. Could we defend our Champions of August trophy back-to-back? Has it ever been done?
I don't know. You're sitting in fifth place. You're in the Europa League spot right now in the league. But, you know, win again next weekend and we'll see where you are.
I'm adopting a dog this week. As you all know, it was going to be called Carlo Ancelotti. And when he went off to go and buy a pint of milk and never came back, I've been looking for him. I'm not quite sure. I'm headed to Buffalo on Friday. I may call my new puppy Rafa Benitez.
Oh, I think I suggested that a few months ago and you laughed at me.
I think you recommended Woofa Benitez. And I'm not keen on the dog puns.
You don't like dog puns. I got you.
No, Woofa Benitez. Maybe. It's in the running.
Okay, my favourite part of the pod with Premier League returned in earnest. Rog is too focused on making tally marks on his wall to keep track of Rafa's days in charge to manage his calendar. Fortunately for him, he's got the American football fan's best friend to pick up the slack on his scheduling, Google Assistant.
That's 100% win rate, Rafa Benitez, to you, Davo. Oh, I love my stunt double. And this weekend, I want to take a look at your Chelsea taking on Arsenal. Big Rom's return against a backline that was worn ragged by Ivan Toney. You might want to sleep through this one, Arsenal fans. Hey, Google, when will Chelsea play Arsenal?
On Sunday, Chelsea will play Arsenal in London at 11:30 a.m.
Ah, yes, at the Emirates Stadium. But over to another team with a young American star this weekend. I want to put my eyes on Borussia Dortmund. Gio Reyna got a goal on the weekend and Erling Haaland racked up 2 goals and 2 assists. Great entertainment in Germany. They play Freiburg this Saturday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on ESPN+.
I'm hoping for another Pulisic goal and another tattoo celebration. Rumour has it he's got a Rog face tattooed on his other arm.
Oh, well hard. Can we get one final toast with that exclamation point in a bottle, Jägermeister, to bring us home?
I raise my shot of Jägermeister, the official shot of men in blazers, and a bolt of human emotion in a shot glass to the United States men's national team who made number 10 in the FIFA rankings for the first time since 2006. A moment which means everything and nothing because, well, FIFA rankings are notoriously inaccurate. Remember, we were number 4 right before the 2006 World Cup, and we really believed it, only to crash out in the group stage. But baby step by baby step, the positive of this news is that if we maintain the position, the seeding for the 2022 World Cup, we will be dodging the other 9 teams ahead of us. But we still need to qualify for that. And also, by being in the top 10, US men's national team players will get United Kingdom work permits more easily. So let it flow. For now, let's appreciate the achievement for what it is. Champions of the CONCACAF Nations League and top 10 in the FIFA rankings. You'll never sing that.
Okay, you can follow us on Twitter at Men in Blazers, at Embassy Davies, at Rog Bennett, on Instagram at Men in Blazers, at Embassy Davies, on Facebook. We're the Men in Blazers. You can always send your ravens to the crap part of Soho. You can always email us at meninblazers@gmail.com. Vendorpunk Rog.
War Pig.
Was that a Rabona?
I like snacks.
Balds win, balds win.
Take that, Gloria.
Balds lose.
To Tweed.
Abrigado, rock on, mate.
Kung Fu Fight in America. Love you, Davo.
Love you, Rog.
Love you, Woofer Benitez. Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.